Hi, this is Tony Robbins, and welcome to another edition of Power Talk, number 4 for most of you, and for those of you who are brand new and joining our audio magazine and what we call our Power Talk family, welcome aboard. I'm especially excited to talk with you today. I'm excited every time I have the opportunity to chat with you through these tapes, but I'm feeling especially grateful today. And part of it is I just got done spending the weekend with about 2,500 people, including some of you listening to this tape right now, in the largest unlimited power seminar and firewalk that we've ever conducted. What was especially inspiring about it was just to see people for 2.5 days giving 1,000% of themselves, committed to whatever it would take to grow and to expand as people. And just the amount of love and support that people gave each other over the weekend. You know, I've seen it over and over again, and I've been doing this now for almost 13 years, doing seminars myself for 6, and it still inspires me. So I feel really grateful. And the other reason I feel really grateful this morning is because of a conversation I had with my daughter. On my way over here to do this taping so I could chat with you, I had ideas about what I was going to talk about. But as usual, that got changed right before I got here because my daughter pulled me aside just as I was leaving and said, you know, could I talk to you for a second? I said, honey, I'm just about to leave. She burst into tears. I said, I think it's time for us to talk. And we chatted for 2 or 3 hours and had a conversation that I know will, and she believes, will shape her destiny for the positive, and got the chance to connect. And out of the conversation, I made some additional distinctions that I want to share with you in this taping. So I'm excited to share that with you, and I'm just really appreciative and grateful that you are willing to take the time to listen to the ideas I want to share with you, and that you take the time for yourself, and that we take this time together. So my thanks to you. And by the way, for you who have been members of the family for some time and got last month's issue of Power Talk and hopefully listened to it and applied it, I want to say I really got carried away. I got a chance to listen to it myself the other day, or at least I tried to. These tapes are supposed to be a 20 to 30 minute conversation, so you could listen to it on the way to work. And last month's ended up being 80 minutes. It took me 3 trips to the office and back to be able to hear the darn thing. So I'm going to endeavor to tighten things up this month and in further months just so that you can get the full message in one short driving time if that's how you're listening to this. This month's topic, my conversation with you, is on the power of negative thinking, which may sound a little bit strange, especially if you've taken a look at the book summary for this month, which is with Norman Vincent Peale, and it's on his pioneering classic, The Power of Positive Thinking. But I think really to make your life work, you not only got to know how to maintain a positive mental attitude, but you also have to understand the vital power that negative thinking has, the power it has to destroy and the power it has to build. That may seem a little weird, but as we get into the conversation, I think you're going to find that negative thinking is a two-edged sword. We want to learn how to utilize negative thinking as well as maintain, develop, and strengthen the muscle of positive focus. This month, by the way, if you haven't picked it up already, is kind of a classics version. The personal interview this month is with Dr. Napoleon Hill. And you say, Tony, you've accomplished a lot of things in your life, but to be able to interview him in person since he passed away some time ago, now that's accomplishment. I'm impressed. We've accessed some tapes from the Napoleon Hill Foundation of some interviews that were done years ago, and so you'll hear me interviewing him through the magic of technology. However, I made this a classics issue for a very good reason. First of all, Dr. Napoleon Hill and Dr. Norman Vincent Peale's books greatly impacted the quality of my life. When I was 17 years old, I read both books, Think and Grow Rich and The Power of Positive Thinking, and they literally shaped my destiny. But they're so basic and they're so fundamental that it's easy to get caught up in the trap of saying, well, I already know that stuff, especially somebody who's read the books many times. I remember years ago, a very successful man I knew who was involved in personal development came up to me one day, and he offered me the book Think and Grow Rich. And I looked at the book, and I said, well, thanks a lot, but I've already read it. And he said, how many times? I said, well, what do you mean, how many times? Once. He said, well, that's obvious. I said, boy, you're pretty soft about it. He said, listen, I've read the book several dozen times. I'm rich, you're poor. That ought to be a clue. He was one of those real soft communicators. But the bottom line is he made a great point, and a point I've not forgotten in my life, and that is repetition is the mother of skill. And something else that I've learned on my own, that too often people hear things so often, over and over again, we hear a basic idea, a basic fundamental, that we begin to take it a little bit for granted. See, knowing something is not enough. A good coach, which is what I endeavor to be here for you and for me, quite honestly, I listen to these tapes when they're done as well. But what I think what a good coach does, it's not so much that they teach you something you don't even know. It's that they get you to do what you know. And maybe they also point out to you some things you hadn't noticed before. That's what a great coach does. You still have to do the work. And these tapes, these conversations that you and I have together each month, these Power Talk sessions are designed to do that, to stimulate in you the memory of what it really takes to succeed. Because I think it was Socrates who said, learning is remembering. But at the same time that we remember what it takes to really succeed, we got to get ourselves to take action. And again, each one of these Power Talk editions is designed not only to remind you or to give you some new distinctions about how to succeed more quickly in your personal life, in your emotions, in your strategies, in your money, in your relationships, but also hopefully to get you to do something. Because there's a very big difference in life between knowing what to do and doing what you know. And that's really what we're going for here. So I thought it'd be really useful to go back to some of that original material. Material, by the way, that was written almost a half century ago by two brilliant men. Napoleon Hill with Think and Grow Rich. And so you get a chance this month to hear him and kind of meet him in person, if you will, through our interview, which will be kind of fun. And then secondly, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. And I want to take just a second to personally acknowledge Dr. Peale. I got a chance to chat with you briefly about him in a previous Power Talk shortly after I met him for the first time personally up in Toronto, Canada. What impressed me about him then and what continues to impress me about this man is that this man is truly a master. He's a person who truly walks his talk. He's in his 90s, and he's still out there every day giving of himself. He's got a busy schedule speaking all over the country. He's working on two brand new books right now, and his whole focus is on living what he teaches, being an example rather than just giving people a bunch of words, and he truly does that. And you know, right now in some circles, it's become really fashionable to discount his work and to minimize the value and power of positive thinking. And even myself, I've almost done that at times, only from the standpoint of not wanting someone to think just being positive was enough. You still got to do your part. You still got to take action. And Dr. Peale agrees with that 1,000%. Some people have distorted his work. But I'll tell you what, it's easy to criticize when you were really using somebody else's material. Or somebody once said it's easy to look down on a giant when you're standing on his shoulders. And I'll tell you what, he laid the foundation for so many of us. We're all standing on his shoulders, so it's easy to feel like, wow, I know so much now, when he provided for us that base and that foundation. So make sure this month you take a look at that book summary. Don't pass it up. And go pick up The Power of Positive Thinking and make it part of your library. More importantly, read it and use it again and again. As any great textbook, it's something you'll want to come back to over and over again. So let's go to this month's conversation. It's on the power of negative thinking. You might say, Tony, you just complimented Dr. Peale, said how much you respect him. How could you turn around and say that? The power of negative thinking? Well, I'm talking about the power of negative thinking both to destroy and to create. I want to reinforce what Dr. Peale has taught you, and I also want to offer you some additional distinctions that used properly can empower you. Negative thinking can destroy. We're going to talk about that. Negative thinking, if you look at it positively, can also create. Let's take a look at what I mean by that. And probably a good place to start would be to offer you a story. The ultimate human story. You know the story. We've heard it again and again. It's in every ounce of literature, whether it be in drama or whether it be children's literature. It doesn't matter what culture or what background you have, you've heard the story. It goes something like this. An ordinary person like you or me makes a decision, and the decision is to go on a quest, to go on a journey, to do something, something that's going to make a difference. And in this ordinary journey, this person does extraordinary things and becomes a hero. How does it happen? Well, you or I, this ordinary person, set out on this journey. We made a decision. And along the way, if we're real lucky, what do? We meet a very wise man who gives us some magic words or weapons. And thus armed, we travel on to a fairy kingdom or an enchanted castle in some far-off realm. And in seeking to reclaim a kidnapped maiden or a priceless treasure or a holy grail, what do? We battle off the invaders. We fight off all the problems. On our quest, we encounter wonders beyond our description, as well as monsters of 1,000 kinds. But armed with the pure heart and the wise man's power, we slay the dragon, we liberate the treasure, and we return home with the prize. That's humanity's favorite story. You can find it as the plot of tales and myths from every age and culture. Sometimes the hero's name is Lancelot. Other times it's Luke Skywalker. It's the basic plot of the Iliad and the Odyssey, of Dante's Divine Comedy, of Ramayana of the East, of Jack and the Beanstalk, of Raiders of the Lost Ark, of the game Dungeons and Dragons. The appeal, the special excellence of this basic story is that it can be appreciated on many levels, as a simple adventure story or as a description of a spiritual journey. Now tell me, haven't you had the dream? Haven't you dreamed of the person who makes the difference? Who helps everyone, who's loved by everyone, where you help to change the entire community, or your family, or your friends. I think we've all had dreams. The question is, where do they go? See, for most people, they had dreams when they were a kid. They dreamed of these kinds of things. They say, yeah, but that's stories. That's not real life. You know, I went out there in real life, and I got those magic words. I paid for them late at night on television. You know what? And those words came, and I went out and tried to buy that real estate for no money down. You know what? It didn't work. Those magic words didn't work. He wasn't such a wise man. Or the weapons weren't strong enough when people said no. I don't know what kind of story you have, but I know a lot of people had dreams, and they've got all kinds of reasons why when they went out on their journey, when they tried their quest, it didn't work. And a lot of them are legitimate. But you know what's interesting? A lot of people have dreamed and approached their dream over and over again, each time failed to slay the dragon, failed to come back and win the maiden's hand, failed to come back and free their friends, and pretty soon they've given up. And giving up is the ultimate danger. The message of the power of positive thinking is a message in belief. It teaches us that we must be able, no matter what the environment, to focus on what we do have, to focus on how to turn things around, to focus on how to make things work. The message of the power of negative thinking is simple. Focus on what you don't have. Focus on how things are not how you want them to be. And certainly you will find yourself unarmed and facing a dragon that is ferocious, one that you know you cannot defend against. And whether the dragon eats you or not, you'll still feel the pain as if he had. What do I mean by this metaphor? Well, I got a question for you. Those who slay the dragon, those who free the maiden, those who come home to the joy and happiness that they dreamed of, what do they all have in common? What do all these ordinary people who become extraordinary by doing extraordinary things have in common? Well, one might say they were positive thinkers, without a doubt, and I would have to agree. But what does that mean? The bottom line is we read the stories of people who find out what resources they really have because they're able to get themselves to be confident where other people are fearful. Really, what is the power of positive thinking? It's the power of faith. It's the ability to generate a feeling of certainty in yourself when nothing in the environment supports you. See, every great achiever I know, I don't care who it is, whether it be Lee Iacocca or my daughter Jolie, anyone who makes a difference, anyone who contributes, anyone who produces a quality of life, a result that is measurable, that other people aspire to, all these people have something in common. They're positive thinkers. You want to be a hero? Learn to create certainty in the face of fear. What is negative thinking? For most people, the power of negative thinking is the power to destroy. The power of negative thinking is really the ability to allow yourself to operate from fear instead of faith. And that is when your life falls apart. Out of fear, most people constantly focus on the worst that could happen, anticipate it in advance, and thereby try to avoid even participating in something where they may not end up on top, where they may not achieve, where they may not be able to make things work the way they've dreamed them. But see, the greatest way in the world to never achieve your dreams is to never take the first step. The greatest way in the world is to make sure you create nightmares about your dreams and allow those nightmares, your fears, to slowly eat away, to cut away at your courage, your power, your decision, your ability to move forward. And I got to tell you, I think most people in our society have learned to become negative thinkers. For most people, they've given up on their dreams. The kingdom they were seeking is too far away now, and the land they were pursuing is far beneath the waves, a place they'll never be able to reach. It's too deep. It's too far. And you know why people have taken this attitude? It's not because they don't care. It's not because they don't want to dream. It's because so many people have had dreams and they've tried and they've tried and they've tried and they've quote-unquote failed in their mind to achieve. And so, you know, there's something interesting about the human brain. We've talked about it again and again in our personal power series and again in these Power Talk tapes. And that is that the human brain is always working hard to avoid what? Pain. And it's always trying to gain what? Pleasure. Now, after failure, trying and trying and trying and it not working and not working and not working, what some people link up is, boy, getting excited, really going for it equals pain, so I better not even try. I better stay right where I am because at least I know how to deal with that. And what happens is we have extraordinary people that settle for mediocre lives. So you don't want to fall in that trap. And it's so easy, isn't it? Haven't you failed there at least some point in your life where you felt so jaded and so frustrated and you tried so hard and you gave your all and it still didn't work that you felt like, why even try? I certainly know I have. That's where I was about 6.5, 7 years ago. All because I felt like, man, I gave my all, and this is the reward? Why even try? Why even do this? I began to adopt the power of negative thinking, the power to destroy my life, and it didn't take long. It took me about 120 days to destroy everything I'd worked for 4 years to create. It doesn't take long when you indulge in that practice. It only takes a little bit of poison to kill somebody. You don't need to drink 6 gallons of strychnine. Just a sip, and it's over. We got to make sure that every day we stand guard in our minds and make sure we're directing our minds rather than just falling for whatever is dumped in it by the environment around us. It's critical because what we think about daily is what's determining how we feel, what actions we take, and therefore each day what we think about is shaping our destiny. And you know what's scary? Sometimes the poison is offered by a friend. I think it was said best by my good friend and one of my original teachers, a man named Jim Rohn. If you ever get a chance to hear Jim, I hope you'll take the time to go listen to him speak. But Jim used to have a great thing. He said to me, he said, Tony, you know something? Every day you got to watch your mind. You got to watch what's getting in there and watch who you surround yourself with because friends can poison you. I thought, that's kind of harsh. He said, but look, Tony, he said, look, if you got a cup of coffee here, and he said, your worst enemy comes by and puts some sugar in your coffee when you're not looking, what's going to happen? I said, well, I don't drink coffee, but if I did, I guess it'd be pretty sweet coffee. He said, that's right. He said, what if your best friend, even by accident, drops a little bit of poison in your coffee? I said, I'd be dead. He said, that's right. Lesson one, watch your coffee. Right? And he said, lesson two, make sure when you're watching that coffee that you put in it what you want. You don't let other people do it for you. We've got to watch our minds. And I'll tell you what, if we don't, you got to realize that gravity is constant. If you don't every single day try to put something positive in your mind, something that's going to build, something that's going to help you to construct a greater quality of life, if you don't do that consciously, what will the news provide for you? What will the environment around provide for you? Gravity is constant. Negativity is constant. We must resist it in order to have the muscle and the will to shape the quality of our lives. Now, I'll give you an example of where I think our society's gone. I surround myself with so many positive people, sometimes I forget. But all I have to do is turn on the TV to find out the reality. Or like an experience I had recently. You know, our television show, Personal Power, is the most successful infomercial in personal development that's ever been done. It's broken all the records, and we're really proud of it. But recently, I thought, okay, we're going to come out with a new show, and I want to make sure we reach even more people. So why don't we do a focus group? Why don't we bring in a group of people who don't know who we are, and let's have a professional moderator find out what they really think of our show. Are we reaching them or not? How can we get through to more people? So that day, I went up to Marina Del Rey, sat down in the back of this room, behind a mirror. Nobody knows we're there. And I watched this moderator interview approximately, 13 people. Amazing lessons. Because quite honestly, you know, based on the response we've had to our show, I figured, hey, they're all going to love the show. Not quite like that. When the moderator interviewed them in advance, one guy happened to mention, when they asked about personal development information, if they were ever involved with like seminars, anything like that, one gentleman mentioned that he had been to a seminar, and not mine, somebody else's, and listened to some tapes, and you should have seen people jump all over this guy's case about how, what is he, dependent upon somebody else, and how other people said they didn't need it because they were already confident and they were already balanced. It was amazing. It was amazing the amount of emotional negativity they had towards this man. Then they asked, well, have you heard about Tony Robbins? Well, one person in the group of 13 had heard about me, read my book, was very enthusiastic. Other people were kind of bothered by that. So then they showed the film. Well, after showing the television show, the response was rather amazing. We had everybody, first of all, fill out a piece of paper, and on it, it had a drawing of some people talking. And it said, before we talk about this as a group, these people you see on this paper are talking about the show you just watched. Please write down what they're talking about. And then we gave them a chance to score myself and other people on the show in terms of their sincerity and their vitality and passion, etc. Well, it was amazing. I got really high scores. And so I assumed that when a conversation started, they'd be terribly enthusiastic. They were not. One man stood up and said, I love them. I want those tapes. This seems fantastic. It seems different than everything else. As soon as he did, you can imagine what happened. A bunch of people just thumped all over this guy's head. What, are you crazy? Don't you know these people are just trying to rip you off? They're just trying to make money off you. This is a total scam. And they went on and on and on about how if he was going to do this, he was going to get ripped off. Well, the moderator said, well, what do you mean? How can you say it's a scam? They said, well, look, all those people on there talking about the results, they're all paid for their testimonials. Those people are just saying that because they're paid to say that. That isn't really what happened for them. You can't believe it. 13 people, about 7 of them thought they were all paid for. Not one of our testimonials is paid for. The moderator said, but wait a second. He said, how could he get ripped off? If he gets the tapes and he doesn't like them, he can send them back. There's a money-back guarantee. They said, yeah, but you'll never get your money back. That's a total scam, too. That's a total lie. There's no way. They went on and on and on. They said things like, well, if this guy's so successful, why is he teaching other people? Why doesn't he just keep it for himself? And I thought to myself, this is amazing. I had no idea people thought this way. If I'd been intelligent, I guess I would have realized it because 7 years ago, that's how I used to think. Which, by the way, was also ironic. One of the ladies there who was real emotional, talking about how this must be a ripoff, she said, yeah, that guy Tony Robbins, I believe he's sincere, but he's a liar. And I thought, what? How can you be sincere and be a liar? She goes, well, he's sincere, and I think he really cares and all that stuff, but he never lived in a 400-square-foot bachelor apartment in Venice. Which, by the way, we did this focus group about 10 minutes away from where I used to live, 2516 Pacific Avenue in Venice. Pretty amazing. Bottom line is, she went on, and she was so intense, and they were so angry and so upset, and they never even met me or knew what I was doing. And I was taken back But then after getting taken back, I got really curious. I thought, what is this dynamic? Why are these people so emotional? Well, the moderator worked with them for almost 2 hours. And after conversation, after conversation, after conversation, going to each one of them and saying, well, you wouldn't see any value in these tapes for you at all? And this one gentleman who's a little older said, no, I'm retired. Now I'm happy about it. He put a terrible frown on his face when he was saying this. And I thought, this is amazing. So sure enough, after a while, he said, well, what would convince you these tapes would be worth at least listening to and then sending back if you didn't want them? I said, I don't know. We need some real evidence that works, not some paid testimonials. So he said, I think you guys need real solid evidence. He said, I'll be right back. So sure enough, he walks out of the room, comes back into the next room next to me and says, you want to talk to these people? And I said, well, no. I said, no, I'm just kidding. I said, I guess so. I said, boy, these guys are pretty mean. He said, yeah, but he said, you know, it might be fun. I said, okay. So sure enough, I walked in the room. You should have seen the state change in the room when I walked in there. It was amazing. They were like, it's him. This other guy didn't notice us there. And the person kept nudging him. It's him. And I sat down, and they all kind of like gasped and said, oh, hi. And they smiled, and they're really, really nice to me and stuff. They're just beating me up, you know, on my show up pretty intensely. And I said, I want to thank you all for being here. I said, because you just gave me an unbelievable education. See this mirror over here? I've been behind this. That's not a regular mirror. That's a two-way mirror. And I've been looking and listening to all you've been saying. And fortunately, I don't take it personally. I said, but I had no idea people could be this pessimistic. Everything I said on the show, all those people you saw, they're all sincere. Nobody there is paid for their testimony. The bottom line is they're all sharing because they got results. And I said, I am absolutely sincere. And I turned to the woman who had said I'd never lived in Venice, and I said, 2516 Pacific Avenue, apartment 3A. Check it out on your way home. It's only 10 minutes away. She kind of looked at me and kind of like shook a little bit. I said, but you know what? I said, I needed to see this. I needed to hear you guys' response to this because my goal is to reach more people. And I said, you know, some of you said I'm doing this to make money. I said, you're absolutely right. I'm a businessman. I make money. But I get to do something I love to do that makes a difference in the process. And I said, you know, if I wasn't making money, it means I wouldn't reach any more people. So yeah, certainly I want to do well. I said, but I really want to impact people. And I'm not impacting you guys. You're not hearing my message. And I'm making money without that. I want to reach you. Help me. How would I reach you? And it was just amazing. They said, well, you know, tell us more about what you do. And I told them what I do. And I told them why I do it and why I'm involved in it. And sure enough, within about 5-10 minutes, they're going, well, this is what you should do. You should be on that show more. Don't have those testimonials. And you should tell us these things because you're really great. We really like you. And I'm going, well, I'm the same guy as on the camera there. I'm the same guy on the screen. They go, yeah, but it's different having you here in person. Then we know you're real. You're not like all those other scams. And they kept talking about all those other scams. And I listened to that. And the one man who said, you know, he was retired and he wouldn't do this. I said, would you never get some tapes like this? He said, well, I would have got them years ago. Years ago, I used to get tapes all the time. I used to go to those seminars and stuff. He said, man, I give my all and it wouldn't work. He said, finally got tired of trying to give my all. I don't need that. I'm happy the way I am. Put this terrible scrunching look on his face. And I thought, you know, that's interesting. This man kept giving. He kept trying and it didn't work. And I got it. These people, why were they so emotional, so angry about trying to prove this stuff wouldn't work? And I finally realized what it was. These people have been disappointed so many times that now they're deathly afraid of getting excited because their brain says, man, if I get excited, I'm going to take a fall. If I get excited, if I get all pumped up and real jazzed and everything else about this thing, then what's going to happen to me is what's always happened to me. It's not going to work out, and I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to tell my friend about this great business opportunity, and then the company goes under, and then my friend's going to hate me forever. Or this guy's going to get me thinking I can really succeed, and I'm going to go out there and make some investment or put myself on the line or really stretch myself, and then I won't pull it off, and I'm really going to fail then. Then I'm going to really feel lousy, so I'll just stay right here where I am and not do anything and watch my life drift away. You know, I turned to these people as I listened to them talk after a while, and I said, you know, I paid to have you be here, and you don't have to take anything from me. I said, you can get up and leave at any time, but I said, I think the real reason you guys didn't order these tapes is not because you didn't believe in the guarantee. I don't think it's because you thought these other people were lying. I think it's because you guys are afraid to get excited. I think it's because you've been disappointed so many times, you've given up. I think the real reason you didn't buy these tapes is you don't believe in you. And I looked around the room, and of 13 people, about 11 of them are shaking their head yes, and the other two are kind of going, I don't know if I agree with you. I said, you don't have to agree with me. I said, but what do you think? And you know what? Several of them said, yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, right after my focus group, they did a focus group for a health product, a health and fitness product, a diet product. And this one woman who had been so against me, so negative when she saw my television show, they said, would you use this diet product? She said, no. She said, because, you know, the truth of the matter is I wouldn't succeed at this until I used something like Tony's product and I learned to love myself more. I thought, what? You know, unbelievable. Totally different view. And what was interesting is we were almost out of time with these people. And I said, you know, I've kept you longer than we're supposed to, and I'd like to spend another 20 or 30 minutes with you. I'm willing to pay you for the time, or you can leave, or I'd be willing to give you a set of my tapes. I'll give you a set here instead. And guess what? Out of 13 people there, guess how many people said they wanted the tapes? Every single one. Only one had said he wanted the tapes before. Others had written down they wanted the tapes, but when everybody else told them how terrible it was to get tapes, they didn't want to take a chance. They didn't want to take a chance of getting other people upset with them in the group. And out of the 13, though, I only had 12 sets of tapes with me. So I said, one of you can't have the tapes right now. Who here would be willing to wait to get the tapes? And the older guy said, well, I'll wait to use them. He said, because, you know, I probably can't benefit that much from them anyway. What was really fun, by the time I was done speaking, I got a chance to really chat with him. And as I left, the older gentleman who said he was going to wait for his tapes fought with another woman to get the last set of tapes. And this woman who really wanted them had to wait because this guy took these tapes and went. I got several things out of this experience. One is I got an eye-opening experience. And what I first got to see is just how negative, how conditioned, how pessimistic, how skeptical just a general group of Americans picked at random are. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Second thing I got that was exciting was I saw why people would be negative. See, I never understood why before. I thought, well, they're just being negative. You know, I make people wrong for that because I work so hard at being positive. But you know what? You don't want to make somebody wrong. That doesn't make it better. I realized they were negative out of their fears. That when somebody is negative, it's because they're fearful. It's just like when somebody's got a big ego and they're throwing their ego all around. What they really are is insecure. These people, out of their fear, because see, they tried things that didn't work. They've had a lot of references, experiences where they tried something that was painful, that pretty soon their brain now is linked up. Boy, if you get excited and you really go for it, you're just going to be disappointed anyway. If you get excited, you're going to get pain. And that's why they were so emotional about making this thing wrong. They didn't want to get excited because they're afraid to get excited. They're afraid what that would mean to them unconsciously. But you know what else I learned out of that meeting? I learned, based by the older, mature guy, that you know what? Everybody still wants to dream. Everybody still wants to make it happen. Everyone still wants to slay the dragon and be the hero by doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. Everybody wants that. And everybody somewhere in their gut still believes it. And they're waiting for somebody to come along and kick them in the tail or show them it's still possible or get them to dream and be again, to take a few actions. And I really got more reinforced in my mission and what I do. And I relay the story to you to remind you of what kind of environment you live in, number one. You're obviously pretty darn positive to listen to this tape, and you obviously are taking steps to feed your mind with something positive. And each month, I can promise you, you'll have an idea or two, at least one or two things that you either already know and it'll reinforce it so you use it, or something you never heard of on these tapes. You can count on me for each month a stream of some good stuff, stuff you can use, something that'll make your life just a little bit stronger if you're willing to apply even a little bit. And through repetition, it'll cause you to begin to do it unconsciously without having to be aware of it, without having to even think about it. That's part of our goal in being here. But also, I tell you the story so you understand if someone around you is being negative, they're not wrong, they're not bad, they're not a negative person, they're fearful. And you don't want to be one of those people. Hey, what are the consequences, though, of being negative? What are the consequences of looking for what's wrong instead of what's right? The consequences are the destruction of your dreams. The consequences is giving up on everything you could possibly want in your life. And the scary part is so many people in our society have been conditioned to think this way that I think it's affecting the structure and quality of life in America. That might be a pretty big claim to make, but think about it sincerely. As long as people believe that dreaming equals pain, that their future is the same as their past, then that's exactly what will be true in their life. Pretty soon what happens is it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. We get what we look for. If you want to find something dirty in your room, look around. You can find it. You want to find a problem in yourself, you'll find it. You want to find a problem in somebody you care about, you'll find it. It's not hard. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. If you look for the bad, you'll get more of it. You look for the good, you'll have that too. But we've got to be careful about the conditioning. But again, what's made us as a society become so conditioned to the negative? Besides the media, what else is there? Well, we hear in the media, and we've been shaped by a series of negative references, painful experiences that have taught us, boy, if you really believe in someone, if you got a hero, if you believe in your country or a key person, you're going to have your beliefs shattered, your emotions destroyed. All that you've invested will not come back to you. You will lose it all. So quickly protect yourself. Don't get too excited. Don't get too happy. Don't expect too much. In fact, the lesson seems to be today, expect very little, and that way you won't be disappointed. Be, quote unquote, realistic. Which is nothing but a fancy word for saying be negative, look for what's wrong, try to find something wrong in advance. It's one of the most destructive forces that can enter our lives. Why are we that way? Well, look the last 30 years. What's happened to awaken America from its innocence of the 50s? You know, when I go to Fiji, like I talked about last month, you can still see that innocence, where people still have that joy, that excitement, that optimism, where they look for good in other people before they look for the bad. In fact, they don't even look for the bad, so for some reason they seem to find good, and they seem to pull good out of people that seem to be bad when they're in their normal Western society.
This program is continued on the opposite side.